Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, thank you so much for that. You're going to be glad you did, because our good buddy Don Lambro is in the building, so to speak. Don is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's chief political correspondent with the Washington Times, syndicated newspaper columnist. Many of you see his byline around the country. He's in dozens of newspapers around the country. He's also the author of the outstanding book, Fat City, which is one of Ronald Reagan's favorite books. And I'm glad to say he's our friend. Don, welcome back to the show.
Jim, good morning. Thank you. Congratulations on 10 great years.
Well, thank you.
Your program and your leadership.
I appreciate that, Don. But you've been a part of that. You and all my Brain Trust members have been, you know, it's your celebration too, because you guys have been right here with me every step of the way. I could not have done it without the support of folks like you, and I appreciate that very much. Don, we're going to talk about some politics in a little bit and get into the current presidential politics. But there's some things going on right now that are really troubling me. I heard last evening, I think I was watching the Kudlow show, I heard him interviewing a guy, and I wish I could say his last name, maybe I'll think of it in a minute, but he's an economist, he's literally a Nobel Prize winner in economics, and his first name is Joe, and I just can't say his last name, I'll think of it in a minute. Anyway, this guy is obviously a smart guy. And he was, and I guess Kudlow asked him about what he thought about Bush's tax cuts, the 03 tax cuts, and how he thought, how he considered that to be, as an economic lever. And he said, and of course Kudlow is a big supply sider like me, and this guy said he couldn't see any evidence of supply side economics benefit from Bush's tax cuts. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not an economist. I'm not even an amateur economist. I didn't even sleep in a Holiday Inn Express last night. But it's not very hard for me to look around and see plenty of supply-side economics. When I talk to small business owners and they tell me, give me back a tax dollar and I'll put it back to work for my business and hire more employees. Now, what is that if not supply-side 101?
Yes, absolutely, the numbers don't lie, and if you want to look at the core health of the American economy and the impact of the Bush tax cuts, certainly you have to look at small business. A part of our society that I'm afraid the national news, TV networks, and the national news media doesn't pay much attention to. And that's why I think your program is to be applauded in that regard. But, we have more small businesses than ever before. We know for a fact that they create most of the jobs in this country.
That's right.
We've had 44 consecutive months of job creation, net growth and job creation. Where does that come from? Not from the tooth fairy. It comes from these small businesses. And those month after month, those increases in new jobs, are the result of the tax cuts that have kept this economy going through good times and bad. When Bush came up with his proposal when he was running for president, he saw the proposal to cut the tax rates as an insurance policy, thinking that things could turn against the economy. And of course, we had lots of
evidence of that with the attacks and the corporate malfeasance and coming out of the recession. He had lots of reason to believe things could get ugly.
Absolutely. I mean, the economy was whacked a number of times during the Bush administration, from 9/11 to the all of these scandals, and of course the Hurricane Katrina. I mean, the economy stopped breathing after 9/11, and those tax cuts kept the economy on an even keel, kept it afloat, and kept it working. So, and we, as we talked earlier, it has helped small businesses produce more jobs, which has kept our economy growing. So these economists, Ronald Reagan used to say, if you took every economist in the world and placed them end on end, they wouldn't reach a conclusion. So I look at economists with a little bit of doubt about some of what they have to
say. There are plenty of them out there who aren't political and who see the numbers as they are and who report those. But this guy was obviously such a political thing that he was doing. I mean, it was really sad, in my opinion, Don, to see this guy who's a Nobel laureate to in my opinion, just basically blow any credibility he had by denying what was in front of him.
Yeah.
And what was in front of all of us. I mean, it's just...
Too many of those, I'm
afraid. But it's another example, in my opinion, of how a lot of people disregard the contribution that small businesses make to this country and to the world, in fact. Don, hold that thought. We've got to take a quick break. 20 till. Right back with Don. I'll get off my soapbox in a minute, folks. I get riled up every once in a while. Stay with us. We'll be right back. You're not sitting
there alone. Hello, this is Abraham Lincoln. Jim, I always feel better about myself after I'm on the show. I don't have any bouts of depression.
We're back at 17 till. Thank you, Mr. President. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our good friend Don Lambro. He's our chief political correspondent of the Small Business Advocate show, but he really makes his living doing that same thing for the Washington Times. And I know he's glad that he's got that Times deal, that Times gig to fall back on, right, Don?
I hope so.
Yeah, the pay's not too good as a member of the Brain Trust, I'm afraid. Hey, Don, let me tell you what I predicted about 51 weeks ago. When I do my, as my audience knows and you may remember, I do my predictions every year. I predict what I think is going to happen. 15 or 16 things that I pick out nationally and internationally, economically, politically, those kinds of things that I predict are going to happen in the coming year. And over the last 6 or 7 years, I'm batting about 750, Don.
Wow.
And so sometime around mid-December, I collect up my current year predictions and then compare them to what actually happened, and I publish that. And then I publish what my new predictions are going to be. But about 50 or 51 weeks ago, I did my 07 predictions, and here's what I predicted for the presidential race. I predicted that Romney, and this is before he even announced, Don, he had not announced at this point.
Yes.
I predicted that Mitt Romney would be the leader of the Republicans. And I predicted that Hillary would not be the leader in the Democrats. Now, as of today, how close did I get?
Well, you're getting awfully close. Certainly Romney is and has been ahead.
Isn't he? He's leading in Iowa for sure, isn't he?
Yes. Romney still is in the basement down there on the national polls because he isn't that well known nationally as someone like a Giuliani, but he certainly is leading in the caucus states in Iowa and New Hampshire, where he has done a lot of investment of his political capital and his money. And Hillary does seem to be kind of eroding in Iowa. And in the national polls, her numbers are declining. So you may come out with a double winner there when the smoke clears from all this.
Well, Iowa, if we look at Iowa, I mean, you know, never mind that. We're not taking the national election is not until next November. And
yes.
So in my opinion, the only thing that counts right now is the first primary or caucus, which is Iowa, right? And that's coming up real soon,
January 3rd.
And so right now, as far as I can see, Romney's ahead and Hillary isn't.
Uh, that is very true. Huckabee is breathing down Romney's neck in Iowa.
I have to tell you, Don.
There in the last polls. Yeah.
I didn't see Huckabee.
No,
I didn't see that one coming.
No one did. And we don't know where that's going. I mean, Huckabee has no ground game in Iowa, but he has moved up on the basis of very strong support among evangelicals, voters in that state, and they're drawn to his message. But you have to have a ground game, and you have to have an organization in Iowa, because it's all based on getting people to these church basements and schools where they have these caucuses, and Huckabee does not have that, and he doesn't have the money to go on to the next step. And of course, Romney is by far the leader in New Hampshire, and will probably win that. So
I'm predicting
this is still up in the air.
My prediction is that Huckabee for 08. One of my predictions. I'll just go ahead and give you a little taste here, folks. I will be predicting Huckabee will be the vice presidential nominee for the Republicans.
Hmm. All right, that's a brave prediction. You're a braver man than I am, Jim. I'm not sure I'm willing to predict the vice presidential candidate, because there's a lot of factors that go into that. And very often the party picks, as Reagan did and others, the strongest second person in the race. And we have to see whether Huckabee has any
staying power. There's more to that, though, Don, as you know, than just the numbers in the race. There's also... I mean, think about this. Now, Mitt Romney is going to give his religious speech tomorrow.
That's correct.
And he needs to do that. And I'm predicting that he'll come out of that on the other side of that speech doing well. But he will need the counterbalancing of an evangelical vice president, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I think that will strengthen that ticket very much.
Yes. Well, that's possible. But on the other hand, let's say he wins. Maybe he'll want a Giuliani to be able to challenge the Democrats in the blue states, particularly in some of the northeast states.
Right.
So I think that's really is a wide open. That second spot is really wide open.
See,
and it's going to be based on a lot of different things.
I think Huckabee will be the I don't know whether Romney. I'm not sure if I'm ready to predict Romney or Giuliani will win the presidential nomination, but I am predicting that Huckabee will be, regardless of which one of those two become the presidential candidate.
Yes. Well, Huckabee...
I think he'll help both of them.
Huckabee's being sharply criticized, as you know, by the Club for Growth.
Yep.
Because of his tax policies. He did cut some taxes, a number of taxes in Arkansas, but he raised more taxes. And the Cato Institute gave him a poor to failing grade for his tax policy there.
Right.
So the economic side of the Republican Party's conservative wing is not too crazy about him on those
right.
issues.
But is it pretty much going to be Romney and or Giuliani, do you think?
I think right now I would say they have to be the two big guys, but then I think Huckabee is breathing fire.
It's number
and,
third.
He could come on very strongly.
Hold on to that thought. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Democrats, folks, right after these messages. 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
Every day the answer seems more
we're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Don Lambro, the Chief Political Correspondent for the Washington Times, author of Fat City. If you can find that book, go get it, folks. Go look on Amazon. Go look on eBay. Go to your library. Whatever you have to do. It's been published now for a couple of decades, but it's worth the effort. You will like it, and if no other reason for the fact that President Reagan liked it a lot. Don, how much trouble is it to get a copy of that these days?
I think it is being still sold on eBay and Amazon.com. There's a few of them around. And unfortunately, a lot of those agencies I said should be abolished. They're still around, too.
Well, at least your book is hanging in there with them, though. I'm glad to see that. Okay, let's talk about the Democrats. Now, I predicted, Don, the reason I predicted Hillary would not be the leader at this point in the year, in the cycle, is because I believe that her calculating, stiff way of doing business. Her scripted, stiff, you know, not all that. I don't know. I just felt like that was going to not wear well, and with a lot of folks. And I think that's what's coming to pass. What do you think?
Well, I think you're right. We certainly see signs of that. I mean, the national polls in the last few weeks, the last week, she has been declining somewhat, but she's still the strongest candidate out there. And now we see Obama has moved ahead of her in Iowa. And a shocker to the Clinton campaign, Obama has moved ahead of her among women voters. But listen, the Clintons are a powerful couple, and I wouldn't count Clinton out. I mean, we have a very different situation here where you have this front-loaded primary system over 20-some states, megastates in which Hillary is very strong, California,
right,
and New York and elsewhere, and they're on February 5th. So, you know, she can maybe do not that well in some of the early contests, but on February 5th, she could just steamroller over the others. So we can't count the Clintons out. They know how to win, and they know how to campaign.
Does Edwards have a chance?
I don't think so. I think he's been sort of treading water around 23% in Iowa, and in the lower reaches in New Hampshire. So no, I don't think so. He's been running third for so long. I just don't see him moving up to the top tier.
Well, and so you think it's going to be Obama and Hillary fighting it out?
It's come down to Obama and Hillary. There's no doubt about that. And I think people are. He's had room to grow, and she has sort of peaked. And I think we're seeing the undecideds now moving over to Obama as someone who promises change and someone who isn't going to be so polarizing that, you know, half the electorate says, I can't vote for him under any circumstances. He's likable. He has no experience, and it's going to be an interesting race if he is the nominee.
Well, what about...
I wouldn't count Hillary out at this stage.
Oh, no, you can't. Oh, never, ever. In fact, here's my next question. What do you think the chances are of a fight at the convention for either party?
I think they're absolutely nil because of the
really?
Front-loaded system. Yeah, I think that it's not like the marathon races of.
You don't think the Hillary and Obama could wind up splitting things in these states and one being not that far behind and taking it to the convention?
No, I don't, because of the February 5th front-loaded system that we have.
Super Duper Tuesday.
Two dozen states are going to be voting all at once. It's almost like a national primary. It's going to be all over by early February. So
they're calling it Super Duper Tuesday.
That's right.
That'll be interesting. I guess I thought. Well, all right. Here's another question for you then. What do you think the chances are of a third party candidacy?
Oh, I think that's absolutely nil. You know, we go around that
story.
It's
too late now, isn't it?
That's absolutely. That story rears its head every 4 years. But the American people are not into, a third candidacy of someone they barely know. It's too late. In today's politics, and it's been that way maybe since the 1960s, you've got to start early and run a long campaign over 4 years or more to get the presidency. You just can't come in the last minute.
Some people
have for our country.
Some people have said something about Michael Bloomberg, mayor of New York. But I had his small business council director on the show last week, and you know, he basically said he's not seeing any signs of that around New York.
No, and I think he said that a number of times. And I don't think he's any indication that he's going to he's going to be a third party.
Don, give us your website, please.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
Your website.
Oh, the website, yes. It's thewashingtontimes.com, and you can get some great news and great commentary.
And what's your column going to be about this week?
It's going to be about the Iowa campaign and about Hillary.
Yeah. Will you come
on
back
Thursday.
Again?
It'll appear on Thursday.
Hope you'll keep coming back and keeping us covered on this, Don.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. Don Lambro. I'm Jim Blassingame, and
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.